Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. Amen. The text we consider this morning is written in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Luke and includes verses 16 to 24 as follows. But he said to them, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. And the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges, and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" So far, the Holy Word. It's my pleasure and privilege, as always, to bring you an important gospel message in the name of Christ our Savior, dear fellow redeemed. Growing up, my sister had a poster in her bedroom entitled "The Invitation," and it resembled very much the graphic on the front of your bulletin for today. It showed that near end of a table that stretched far off into the distance, perhaps forever. The table had fine china and silver and cloth napkins and centerpieces. In the poster, shown above, are the open arms of Jesus and a quotation from today's sermon text. I liked it, although the table looked a little formal for my style. They had plates on top of plates, and they had extra spoons and forks that I probably wouldn't know what to do with. I don't think often about how richly God provides for us. We used to have a garden, and maybe that is a good way to remind us where all good things come from. Because to take care of us, God made the earth like a giant pantry, fully stocked. In the earth, we find an abundance of gold and silver and copper and coal, oil. In a cubic mile of the ocean, you can find enough food to feed millions. All the forces of nature come together to supply everything we need. Every day, the sun rises, warming the earth and drinking up billions of gallons of water to carry inland, to fall in the form of rain and snow, making the earth fruitful. According to his promise in Genesis 8, he said, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." The psalm writer goes on about this subject of God's abundance. In Psalm 104, he says, "From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains for the wild goats, the rocks a refuge for the rock badgers. He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness and it is night, when all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to do his work and his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things, both small and great. There go the ships, and Leviathan, which you formed to play in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. O, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. You know, it seems to me we focus on God's concern for our bodily welfare, maybe a lot at Thanksgiving, and otherwise not as much, which is too bad. Well, we've talked about it this morning. We've heard some scripture about it. And I mentioned all of this for purpose of comparison, to show you that while God's concern for us physically is great and his provision is great, his concern for us spiritually is far greater. That's what our text for today shows us. In the parable, Jesus uses our bodily welfare to teach us about our spiritual welfare. In our text, we read, a man once gave a great banquet. The man represents God. And note this well, the great banquet is the salvation God has prepared for men as a heavenly feast. By the way, I think the intent of that poster I mentioned was to show us a glimpse of heaven. The great banquet is not heaven. It is salvation. You are seated at the great banquet right now, receiving the heavenly food of God's word, the law, and the gospel. And I happen to know that the picture on the front of your bulletin was intended to be a glimpse of heaven, because in the original, there were shown on either side of the table big golden gates, as if you were walking through the gates of heaven to that great banquet. Well, I photoshopped those gates right out of there. You know, Adam and Eve were created sitting at this table, but they decided to leave it. Although God had created man in his own image, holy and righteous, to live with him in paradise forever, man, by his own fault, fell into sin and the power of the devil. That's how Adam and Eve forsook the great banquet of salvation set before them. They left that presence of God and that happiness. God knew that man was in desperate straits and could not save himself from the power of the devil, so he immediately promised that help would come. One of Eve's descendants, one of her great, 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 and so on, grandchildren, would crush the serpent's head and destroy the devil. Later, that descendant of the woman was prophesied as the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and pictured in that Passover lamb that was killed so that God's people in Egypt could escape, be delivered from slavery and oppression. And then exactly at the right time in history, that seed, that descendant, that great-great grandson of Eve was born, Jesus of Nazareth. John the Baptist pointed at him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Those Hebrew families, remember, in Egypt, had to paint the blood of that lamb on the doorposts so that the angel of death would pass over their houses during that plague of the firstborn. Jesus, the true Passover lamb, had to have his blood spilled and to be killed also to save us from the slavery of sin and death. That was our exodus. God gives us bread. Surely he does. But he also gives us the bread of life. Jesus said in John 6, "The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes in me shall never thirst. Truly I say to you, he that believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life." That's the great banquet that God has prepared. God really loves mankind, and he has prioritized his love to put the spiritual and the eternal first and at the top of the list. Would that we would do the same at all times. In order to make it possible for us to get a seat at that great banquet, God had to come down from heaven and become a man in the person of Jesus. And he had to be hated and despised and rejected and abused by the Jews. He had to be condemned by Pontius Pilate, and he had to suffer the very pains of hell on the cross and lay down his life. God loved the world so that he gave his only begotten Son. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friend. God showed us his love in that while we were still his enemies, Christ died for us. That really shows how much he cares. By the way, who was invited? Who could come to that great banquet of everlasting life? In our text, we see, "And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.'" From this we learn that long before the banquet was ready, long before Christ died as the Lamb of God for the true Passover meal and that great banquet, God was concerned about the souls of men, eager to have men feast at the banquet he was preparing for them in Christ. In fact, that concern goes right back to the Garden of Eden. As soon as Adam and Eve sinned, God came to them and promised them salvation through the seed of the woman. And as I said, God repeated that promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, telling them that their Savior was going to be one of their descendants. But he also made it very clear to them that that great, great, great grandchild would not only be the Savior of their descendants, the Israelites, the Jews, but of the whole world. He said in Genesis 22, "In your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." When that seed was born in Bethlehem, the angel said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born a Savior, Christ the Lord." Or when Simeon, in the temple, took up that child Jesus in his arms, he joyfully exclaimed, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to your will, because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." In fact, that seed of the woman himself, he's speaking to Nicodemus by night, said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's how Paul can write, God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Everybody who lived from the time of Adam till Christ was born, all who lived at the time of Christ, all who were born yet, and all who are yet to be born till the end of time, God has prepared for everyone salvation in Christ, and he wants them all to come to this heavenly feast. That shows God's care for the souls of men. It really is for everyone. When our text says he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready," it shows that long before the banquet was ready, long before Jesus paid for our sins, way back in the time of Adam and Eve, God was concerned. And it also shows that he did something to get people to that banquet. God invited Adam and Eve himself to the banquet when he came to them in the garden. God invited their children and descendants through his servants, men like Adam and Abel, Enoch and Noah, already before the great flood, calling on the name of the Lord, telling sinners all about God and calling them to repentance, telling them that their Savior from sin was on the way. After the flood, his servants were men like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Samuel, David, all the prophets from Isaiah to Malachi, and then the final prophet, the greatest prophet, John the Baptist. And when the banquet was ready, when Christ had come and prepared this great banquet through his suffering and death, he again sent his servants, the disciples, just like they've been doing for millennia, to call the invited guests, Come, all things are now ready. Our text continues, verse 18. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have an excuse. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine it. Please have an excuse. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. In short, they all made flimsy excuses, which angered the master, who said to his servants, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. But he told his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. This was done, and there was still room. Go into the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. Finally, he said to his disciples, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you. All of which goes to show the Lord's deep concerns for the souls of all people. He wants all to come and feast at this great banquet of salvation, and this concern goes on to the end of time. You can hear that in Christ's promise when he said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. We sang, there still is room, his house is not yet filled. And now he wants to use us to extend his invitation. It can be a difficult and sometimes disappointing task. Many will offer flimsy excuses even now and refuse to come, but even as then, every time, the servants went out, some came, some heard. So also today, our efforts will not be in vain. You can read in your bulletin today that at long last, one of God's servants has answered the call to serve as our foreign missionary to India, to take the place of missionary Koenig, who will remain in India with his wife and also keep serving as he is able. The Mission Helper program is active. Right now, 12 people from across the CLC departed for India a week ago. You can follow their progress online. We pray in thanksgiving for these great blessings of people calling to the highways and byways and reminding that there still is room. Eventually, his house will be filled. And what joy then to have been one of God's servants, inviting others to the great banquet of everlasting life. May God grant us the zeal and courage to extend this invitation to everyone. As I said, the parable is about salvation, not strictly speaking about heaven. But the banquet will continue in its fullest version there, on the other side in heaven. I don't know if that final and everlasting banquet in heaven will have 3 forks and 2 spoons, but I know that it will be perfect. Amen. The same peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.